This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yo, what up? Listen, man. Ali's in Florida, Vlad's in L.A. I'm here in New York at the table, but you know what? We're all in the conversation. Join in.
It's time for the In the Conversation podcast. With funny man Damian Lemon, crazy Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! We are back. It is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. And as always, on my right-hand side, I got...
El Coronel, El Capitán, El Comandante. Vladimir
Camaño. Ah, shit. And on my left-hand side, I got...
Yeah, you got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, the ambassador of the Summer of Love.
All right.
Up in here.
All right, the ambassador of the Summer of Love, El Capitan. We are all at Singular Studios. You know what I mean? We are in the conversation together. But we are all in the different parts of the world, but we came together like Voltron for the people.
And no doubt.
How y'all doing, man? How's everything going?
Great, man. Highlight my week.
Highlight. That's what's up. I like to hear that. I'm glad, glad it's still a highlight.
Man. Everything good, man. We down here at Thorough Headquarters South.
Thorough South, that fast? You got a Thorough South?
We done. That's just what we call it because we're here.
Okay.
Wherever I'm at, that's where it's at.
There it is.
Now, we down in Florida, though, so, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Y'all remember when George Bush had the White House West at his house?
Nah, I don't remember that. Did he have that? That's what he called it?
Yeah, when he was out there so much, they had a seal made for the podium at his crib
that said
White House West.
That's funny.
That shit was crazy. I'm like, yo, this month, he just not coming back, is he?
He said, fuck this.
He's just like, fuck it. I'm at the crib.
I want to be comfortable. That's how Bloomberg used to go to Bermuda, though, all the time, like on the weekends. I remember
every Friday.
Yeah. Some shit popped off in New York that was on a weekend that was like, we needed the mayor, and he just was via satellite. He was like, yo, I heard shit is fucked up out there, but... Unfortunately, I'll see y'all niggas on Monday. Y'all will figure it out.
I'll see y'all on Monday.
Yeah, my.
Yeah, he wasn't with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm out. You know what I'm saying? When I'm out, y'all handle that shit. I got people that handle that.
Yeah.
And I'll be back on Monday.
I'm too rich, you know, to saying? Be a weekend mayor.
He wasn't like Giuliani. Giuliani wanted to be on that. He wanted that shine every time.
Yeah, he was thirsty. He still wanted. He still want that shine.
Yeah, he wanted to be on that TV. Somebody gets shot in the park. Giuliani. Oh, we won't stand for
Giuliani,
this.
Giuliani, here we go.
Yeah. That's funny. Oh, man. Anyway, so you've been on tour a little bit, though, Muhammad.
Yeah, man. Shit, when was that? I guess Friday I was in Cleveland for the family barbecue. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that was good, man. It turned out good, man. It's funny because, you know, everybody, you know, it was the first time we've done this in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every other time we've done it, you know, it was some fisticuffs involved at some point in the afternoon.
You had the ice packs on standby?
So, on standby. But, you know, everybody behaved. It was good. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my cousin Crystal, who really wanted to put it together. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't something that everybody was just ready to do, but once they got there, it was like, oh, we need to do this more often. You know what I'm saying? Why haven't we done this? You know what I'm saying? But the theme was, yeah, we should do this more often because, you know what I'm saying, it's better to be seen than viewed. You know
what does that mean? So I saw that.
What does that mean? Yeah. What does that mean?
That means it means it's better to be in the world where people could see you than to come to your viewing.
That's the
only time people get together is at your viewing.
Okay. Wow. I guess.
You know what I'm saying? So it's better to be seen than viewed.
Yeah. You don't want to be viewed. You don't want to be viewed.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, you don't want that time. The only, your only celebration is, you know, the only time you bringing flowers and getting hugs and kisses and shit was is on your death.
On your way out. Ain't that a bitch?
On your way out. Man. All the way out.
Like, that's deep.
You know, well, shit, it's good to. Good
yeah,
to.
So when, but when you think about it, though, you know what I'm saying? It even applies to, like, even on social media and stuff where, you know, you're getting views and all that.
Right.
But it's still, you know what I'm saying, good to let people see you and touch you. But y'all on stage every night, so people do come see y'all. Y'all understand that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But when you operating via satellite a lot, you know, it's when you do get in the world, it do feel a whole lot better to be seen than just viewed on the net.
Yeah. Yeah, the energy is way different. Especially when you're being seen mm-hmm. by people that are happy to see you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be
seen.
By,
it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference when you get
it's
love.
It's a huge difference.
Some, you don't want to be seen by somebody that's looking for your ass, because that's also a problem. Yeah, they ain't looking for
you. Know, I guess the point of life is don't have nobody looking for you.
Exactly. Oh shit, man. So that was cool. That was good.
Yeah,
times.
Man, it was beautiful, man. It was a beautiful experience. You know what I'm saying? It's always, and like the Cleveland energy is always, like I said, it's way more aggressive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's I told you our sigil for our family in Cleveland is like a fist. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's very, very, very aggressive. A lot of slick talk, a lot of, you know what I'm saying? So it's very inspirational on the use of the English language.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Just quick one-liners and lines. Everybody got the slick mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, and so, you know, and then, you know, my cousin Chris out there and they got their operation that they running with the construction business. So that's always inspirational to see them
mm-hmm.
take it all the way from nothing to, you know what I'm saying, a multi-million dollar operation, you know what I'm saying? Oh, six dump trucks and a big ass building, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, yeah. A bunch of properties, 30 something properties, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's good to, you know, get that, let that rub off on you, you know what I'm saying? Let that sink in. Like, you know, don't be out here bullshitting because it's out here to have.
Catch some of that success, like the Zika.
Yeah, catch some of that. Like, yeah, catch some of that energy and that, you know what I'm saying? That aggressive business energy.
What if they had that? What if it was like, you know how they got mosquitoes with the Zika virus? What if it was mosquitoes out there with the success and failure virus? You don't want to be bit by a failure mosquito. You hope the success mosquito come and infect that ass. Oh, man.
Well, dude, I heard
yeah,
heard
yeah.
You heard what?
This is a side note.
Florida.
This is a side note, but I heard Zika's in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, well, stay cool out there, Muhammad. You know what I mean? Be careful.
Yeah, but you know, it's in South Florida. I'm in North Florida. I'm in North Florida right now, but
keep them deep.
The good thing is that the mosquitoes don't really like me that much. You know what I'm saying? They don't bite me that much.
So. Oh, all right. Well, cool.
I'm
going to
stay covered. I'm going to stay in the air condition, though. Shit.
Yeah, stay low. Zika. You shit. Fucking Beanie Man got the Zika virus. He got both. I heard he got the. We couldn't hear what you said. He said you heard Beanie Man got what?
Nah. Go ahead.
I heard he got. I heard he got Zika and Dengue, which is the joint that's out in Africa. Yeah, I heard he got.
How the hell did he get that?
I don't know what happened, man. I seen.
That's that tour life.
Yeah, I seen it come across the timeline. You know, I was like, damn. You know how? Go ahead.
No, but Zika virus,
yeah.
As I understand it, it could be asymptomatic too, right?
Meaning that it just, you don't even know you got it?
Yeah, and then it shows up, you know, when you have kids. Am I wrong or not? I could be wrong.
I think Chris about to have hit you with some information.
Yeah, you can. I don't think it's truly asymptomatic, but it's nothing. Like, you might just feel like you have a bit of a fever or like a cough or something like that, and then it goes away. You do know when you have a kid, obviously. But,
yeah, because then it's got that shape. You know, what's the shape on that head? It looked like a trapezoid, little trapezoid head babies.
Lord,
the baby comes out
this shape
again.
The views and opinions.
I'm sorry, y'all. Pardon me. All right. I'm sorry, y'all. I listen, man. I hate to say this. But some of these designer diseases, I don't respect them till they've put in at least 6 to 12 months of work. You know what I mean? I feel like we get so up in arms over some of these diseases, and them shits be, they like fads. You know what I mean? What was before?
Hey, Ebola? One-hit wonders.
Yeah, all that shit. Ebola. Swine flu. Fucking ALS. You know what I mean? Like, we get so... Yeah, all of that shit. You know, I fuck with the classics. The cats has got catalog. You know what I mean? They've been around killing for years. That's what I respect. Anyway, man.
I think we also have better ways of controlling diseases that come about. Thank God.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, make sure you get some deep woods off.
Yeah, that's coming and going. But you know, that's another topic.
Some citronella.
You said get deep woods.
Get you some deep woods off. Some citronella candles and a couple long sleeve Henleys. Fuck that.
Yeah, the deep.
Just to be safe.
In New York, got deep woods off.
Hell yeah! Hell, exactly. On the train, spraying yourself just in case. Oh man. So Vlad and I, we was just up in the good old Montreal, in the Montreal, Canada. Yeah. You know, for the Just for Laughs.
Hey, Vlad, did you
fly?
Talk to him, Vlad.
Vlad, did you revisit the massage parlor?
You know, I wanted to, but I ended up going to one in house. So that the hotel had a spa downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there.
How was it?
Although it was a classier spot, the girl last time,
mm-hmm.
although she offered me that nasty business, her massage was way better, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was, like, more aggressive with the back muscle. This one was, like, it was, like, a little, it was like a leisurely type of massage. I don't like that.
You wanted to get aggressive, but not too intimate.
Yeah, I want deep tissue.
Yeah, deep tissue, but not the tissue. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You want the deep tissue, but not tissue post massage.
Yeah,
like your whole lap.
Stay away from the toothpick.
Stay away. So that shit was regular. It was a regular ass massage.
It was regular, man. Regular.
That's the worst. Yeah, man. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. It just feels good to be able to perform at that festival, to be international, mm-hmm. and have your comedy hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different parts of the world and. You're around the best comedians, man. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And to be amongst that community and showcased in that light and be able to carry conversations with all the movers and shakers,
mm-hmm.
it makes you, it reinvigorates you, man.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was a good time out there. It was a good time, man. Shout out to Kevin Hart.
Wait, what you was into, D?
What I do? I did the Kevin Hart thing. I went up there, shot that. I did some minutes on. I opened up for Kurt Metzger, and then I did another like as seen on TV show at Comedy Nest. That was that. And then while I was out there, I made it a point to really like participate. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I had an extra day where I had nothing. You know what I mean? I had no shows, and I was just like, let me just go out there and just see what's what. You know, I got to see my man Hannibal's show. That nigga sold out his big ass theater out there. That shit was crazy. It's a great show. Got like new like multimedia shit going on with the show that was really funny. So shout out to him. Shout out to Janelle James that opened it up. Went past the mystery show. Seen Vlad there. Blake Griffin of the LA Clippers was hosting those shows. And your man Blake Griffin.
Hosting.
Doing comedy. Doing time. And I'm going to keep it funky with you. I only saw him one time. Blake Griffin funny, B. Blake Griffin, I liked him. I think Blake Griffin was good. He got great timing. He was comfortable up there. I don't know, Vlad, what you think?
I didn't see him hosting. I got there right when Tone Bell was on. And by that point, Blake was bringing people up. So
right.
I missed his opening set.
Yeah. Now, he did his thing. I thought he was really good. He's got chops. So that was cool. I'm trying to think what else other shit I seen.
I did go, Damien, the day after you went.
Uh-huh.
I went to Exclusity.
Okay, see, I didn't go there. I went to Off the Hook, but I heard about Exclusity. That's like a mile away, right? The sneaker spot?
I went to Exclusity, and I copped a pair of, I got the Olympic foams.
Okay, the white boys, the white, red, white, and blues?
They're white with gold. White
yeah,
gold.
Yeah, I saw those.
And those were nice. And the thing was, you know, the Canadian dollars, the Canadian currency is weaker than the dollar.
Yeah, yeah, I took advantage of a little bit of that too. But I think I caught those. Let me ask you, I feel like they make it up though. You know what I mean? Like, I think that we still beating them, but they'll like gouge the price a little bit to where it's on par. Did you see that or no?
Not really, because I think I got my phones
for the
low. I think I ended up paying like 210 to 20.
That's about. I mean, I think that's about. Well, they might be 250 in the U.S.
Yeah, that's those. What I'm saying, yeah.
So you came. Like $30. I copped those. I copped those Pusha T Black Market Adidas, and those shits was fire.
I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, they nice. They nice. So I copped those out there, and yeah, that was it, man. I was just. What else was? I mean, had a meme. You saw Brian Regan out there.
I saw Brian Regan live. Was, you know, one of my favorite comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him twice. We talked. We chopped it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, better than I expected, man. Whenever you meet somebody who you respect and they're cool as shit.
Yeah.
You know, it makes a difference. Now he's funnier to me.
Exactly. Now you're laughing a little harder and shit. Yeah,
that's a little harder.
That's my man, Brian.
Hey,
go ahead, Brian.
There you go.
That's my
look how he holds the mic.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. Look at that. That boy is a pro.
Man. I did the Variety's Top 10 Comics to Watch.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to that man.
And had a great showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Hit him with the pocket square.
Oh, you know shit. I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. This man was Dapper Dan out there. Young Blazer.
What was on your feet?
Blazer, come on, yo. Talk to him.
I had what a was pair on your of, feet? One night I had a pair of Gazelles, Adidas Gazelles.
Mm-hmm.
And the other night I had a pair of non patinaed Stan Smith.
Mm-hmm. Crisp.
All white. The Newport. The Newport. Crisp.
The Newports. Yeah, 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 yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
Which JB Smoove also had the same pair, and we ended up talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a moment. Oh man. What else? There was a lot of shit going on out there, man. I threw up at the damn roast battle. Like a rookie.
Which was funny. Wow. Gee, I didn't tell you this up there.
What's that?
I'm at the roast battle and I go to use the bathroom.
Uh-huh. You told me this.
And there's vomit.
Yeah, you
there's
told
a vomit me. On the floor.
Yeah, that was me, Kat.
And I'm talking to Dave, my manager. I go, vomiting.
Yeah,
that was me. I felt like a graffiti artist. Like you saw my mint. Work.
It was a loose mint.
Uh-huh. Stop it. Now you bugging. You bugging.
And then I, no, I'm serious.
Mm.
And then I see you. I see you like an hour later. And I go, oh, that was me.
Yeah, it was me on my Jackson Pollock. What happened was... I was eating, I think I ate some really rich food too fast because we went to this nice restaurant out there we go to out there, a spot called Milos. Very nice seafood spot that we had to get back. So we were scarfing great food down, very rich food. I'm drinking vodka soda, even though I haven't been on no vodka soda in a minute. I'm more of a brown liquor kind of guy. When the weather gets here, I'll go clear liquor, but I typically, if I go clear liquor, I do a good gin and grapefruit juice. Y'all should check that out. But, so I'm messing with that, and then I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't even feel like really drinking no more. Let me go get a seltzer. I get the seltzer. My stomach's already feeling a little weird. The bubbles start to fuck with my stomach, and you should always respect your stomach. Just understand when your stomach is like, hey, here, pick up that call. Don't put your stomach on call waiting. Don't do nothing. So I'm sitting there. We at the roast battle. I was very excited to be at the roast battle because I had good friends in the roast battle who I was rooting for, you know. And we had a nice prime real estate at the bar right next to a monitor. I'm sitting next to my. I'm standing next to my boy Chris DeStefano, and felt my stomach communicating like, "D, you know, you need to see to this." So my point was to tap Chris and say, "Yo, Chris, do me a favor." Hold me down while I go to the bathroom and I'll be back because I needed that spot. And I turned to Chris. I said, hey, yo, do me a favor. And then I just earled a little bit. It was discreet, but I did an earl right by the bar. It was a rookie mistake. Took an earl by the bar, dipped off, ran to the bathroom, did another earl. And then I didn't feel the typically after a good old Earl, you feel some resolution in your stomach. You feel like, all right, we could jump back into the world. I didn't really feel that, so I jumped back in. I ate a couple bathroom mints. So maybe you did see a mint. I ate a couple bathroom mints, which I typically don't indulge in bathroom mints at all, but I had two of those because I didn't want to walk around with the vomit breath. You know, we still at the at the good old festival, so there's a lot of small talk. So I'm out here with the small talk. You can't really be invested in great small talk when your stomach still has turbulence. So eventually I walked just, you know, just casually, like, let me see what's good. Had a final Earl, and I just said, fuck it, let me get out of here. Went back to the spot, and that was my first night there. That was night one. And then when I'm up in the room, because I wanted to be close to a toilet just in case, I was getting all types of texts. Yo, it's cracking down here in the lobby. You should come down. Russell Peters just jumped on the turntables. It's bananas. Oh, I was like, I can't fuck with it. It's always popping when you can't get there. Yeah, man. But beyond that, I had a great-ass Chinese food dinner as well. That was popping.
What did you want at the Chinese bar?
Yo, shout out to my man Kevin Barnett and my man Avi. We went there. It was interesting. We went to this spot, and they had this one little thing on there, which is amazing. They had this one thing where it was like dinner for one. For like $14, you get wonton soup, you get chow mein, like a chicken chow mein, you get spare ribs, you get some noodles, and something else. But it was like a full-on. Plus, we were starving, so we was like, we threw an egg foo young out there. We had a good old a pineapple. We had an orange beef. We had a General So. Like, we tried their whole shit. Like, we was just like, let's see what it's all about. And the food was phenomenal. Like, really good. Like, worth checking out. Yeah. I meant to hit you like, yo, you should check this spot out. Matter of fact, I did hit you, but you was at Regan. So you couldn't come through anyway. But yeah, man, that was a good look, man. Shout out to Montreal, man. It was a good look.
Shout out to Bustan, man.
What's that?
Bustan is a Lebanese spot where they make like chicken gyros?
Yeah.
But it's way better than anything I've had in the States, man.
Really?
Yeah, super good, man. Super delicious.
That's what's up. There. You got any eateries you want to shout out in your area, Muhammad? Okay, I guess.
Man, you know, I went to Cum Cow the other night.
Ooh, that's an OG favorite. Wow. How is it? Is it still good or how's it tasting?
I mean, I didn't have an old school reference to it.
Okay.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, you know, I jumped in. Actually, you put me onto that a long time ago.
Yeah. It used to be cracking.
So, you know, when I got back from Cleveland, you know what I'm saying? I checked that out before I jumped out.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, so I'm an egg foo young, you know, so I'm a hood Chinese food eater,
right.
When I do indulge in the Chinese,
mm-hmm.
So you know,
y'all
made me hungry with all that talk.
Oh right, you know, we that's what we do. Ramadan is over, you know what I mean? Get a snack.
Ramadan is over.
Oh man,
yeah. Speaking of which, you know what I'm saying? Ramadan, you know, ever since Ramadan, man, I've been jumping up. I still kept the get up early shit going.
Yeah.
That shit is changing my life, man.
Really? Yeah. What's that got you doing that? Was it the Ramadan shit that got you? Because you had to get up early to
eat? Well, you know, son. Yeah, during Ramadan, you know, I was getting up at 4 for, you know, to eat and all that before 5:30. Like I said, I did it different this year instead of, you know what I'm saying, just riding out all night, then jumping up, eating, and then taking a little nap and jumping back. Right. I went ahead and, you know what I'm saying, went to bed early, jumping up early at 4:00, you know what I'm saying, slow walking into it, you know, see the sunrise, all that, take my time with it. Uh-huh. And that really is, it changed the way my days go, you know what I'm saying? Because usually, you know what I'm saying, I ride out all night and, you know what I'm saying, thug it out.
Yeah.
But what I realize is that, you know what I'm saying, by the time you get to late at night, you've been thugging it out all day already. Mm-hmm. Then you're thugging it out all night. So it's kind of like, you almost feel beat up. So when I'm thugging it out at 4:00 in the morning, or if I got a lot of shit to do, I'm jumping up at 3 and thugging it out. It's a whole lot smoother.
Thugging it out.
I done whooped ass. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? I done whooped ass before 9:00.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You feel way more productive.
So, you know. Go
ahead.
And even late night, you feel productive. But the world looks at you as way more productive when you're up in the morning.
Yeah.
Like it's
hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? It's the world look at you different, and it rubs off on you. It's like the success mosquito bite you was talking about. It's
right,
This man is productive.
Right, you feel like a decent member of society.
You know what I'm saying? But even though you doing the same shit, it's just a lot of that shit you getting out the way earlier, and you know what I'm saying? It feel a little different because I've been a all nighter my whole life. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And even jumping up early, if you jump up at 3 o'clock, you still catching some of them same hours. It's just going in a different direction.
So you jumping up at 3 a.m. to start the day?
If I got work to do, if I got a lot of shit to do, I jump up 3:30 and hit it. You know what I'm saying?
What time you going to sleep?
Like 11 at the latest, 11:30 at the latest.
And you getting up at 3 o'clock? God, you on some Rick Ross shit right now, Pop?
Dude, but even then, that's still 4 hours. If I thug it out all night and go to bed at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and still got to get up and take the kids to school at 7:30, that's the same shit except it feel worse.
I guess. Damn. When the last time you had 8 hours of sleep? Was that before you had kids?
I get 8 hours. I get 8 hours, you know what I'm saying, every about 8 days, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So other than that, I'm doing 4, 5, 6, you know what I'm saying? But after a while, it catches up with you, and you got to do 8.
Yeah. You got to crash it out. That's where I'm at right now. I had a few,
you know what I'm saying,
long nights in Montreal. Vlad, when you wake up, what's your schedule looking like? You an early riser?
Yeah. No, you know, we comedians, man, so... We typically we're out very late, so it depends. If I get home by like 4, before I'm up by like 11.
Wow. Okay.
You know, if I don't have a show that night, like tonight I have a show at 8.
Yeah.
And I'm probably home by like 10:30, so I'll be in bed by, let's say, midnight.
Okay.
I'll be up by like 8 or 9.
Ah, right. That's fair enough. Yeah.
Shit, 11 o'clock. I don't know. No days where I could just wake up at 11.
Shit.
If I wake up at 11, that means the motherfucking house is burning down. They beating down my damn email.
You
I got voicemail. This shit is crazy.
Right, dude. That's the best part of my lifestyle, man.
Yeah, good.
Wake up under pressure.
Yeah, that's crazy. Damn. Damien,
I don't even know if, you know, I remember... My previous relationship, that was an issue sometimes.
Right, because you'd be asleep and she'd be up.
Yeah, and then, you know, if it's a weekend, she'd want to start the day early so we can hang out together.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
But, that's like a requirement for me. If you can't be happy with me sleeping till like 11 or 12, then it's a problem.
Man, that shit. So you ain't no morning person.
Man. I'm not a morning person. I'm really not. Yeah. I'm not a morning person.
Yeah. Now, I could sleep late. Go ahead.
Now, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If you ain't got no shows, man, if you ain't got no shows, I would suggest you try that shit a couple of times and see how it works.
That 3 a.m. wake up?
Or just a early before the sunrise type of situation.
Where do you go see the sunrise? Like, were you sitting in the backyard? Where you seeing the sunrise?
Y'all don't go see it. I don't go I can see it out my window.
Hold on. No, because I done seen a few of your Instagrams and your Snapchats, and you've been very much about the rising of the sun. Now you don't fuck with the rising.
I have been out there. No, I have been out there with it, you know what I'm saying? But it's not like I wake up, go outside, and look for the horizon and shit.
Some people do that.
But you can see it coming through the window.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You can see as it's going from night to day. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ali, are you drinking coffee?
Some days, you know, I can't drink coffee that much. I can't drink it that much in a stretch, you know what I'm saying? So I do probably 2-3 days of coffee, then I had to leave that shit alone for a while.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you getting up that early, you drinking coffee that early?
Nah, man, your body, it's easier to get up like that than it is when you done rode out all night. Like, I'm finding right now, it's like getting up at 9 o'clock. If I fuck around and get up at 9, it's a harder wake up than it is. Yeah, it's a harder wake up than it is at that 4. You know what I'm saying? That 4, you wake up like, okay, I'm up. All right. And then once you start moving around, that's, you know, it's going.
You might be starting your transition into an old man. Because that's old man hours. My grandfather used to get up at about 4 or 5 in the morning, go get the paper. The whole shit would be cracking at like 6 a.m. He done went and got the paper, he done made some coffee, all of that shit.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Hey, and I ain't been around no old people that did that like that. But when I used to meet with Bob Miller, he used to always want to meet like 6 o'clock, like, you know what I'm saying? Because he used to be up. And I used to be like, man, this man crazy. I just do it to do it. But
I see what he
mean with it now. Cause you know what I'm saying? I might be getting into the old man shit, but I see how I could hustle that shit. You know what I'm saying?
I could like, hustle
as,
this
as
shit.
Not an old man.
Hilarious. You definitely feel way more productive when you get up early.
Well, let me ask you a question. How do y'all feel about naps?
I was just thinking about this. Y'all can talk about it. I know how I feel about it.
Talk about it then.
I just feel like for me in naps, I think I put too much pressure on the nap and it doesn't affect me. Like it doesn't work because I'm expecting this nap to transform everything. Like when I get tired, I'm like, all right, if I take this quick nap, when I come back from the nap, I'll be fucking fully rejuvenated. And more often than not, I wake up more tired than ever. I'm just like, that wasn't really what I needed to sleep. So I don't know. Naps don't do it as much as they should for me. What about you?
I love a good nap, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ali.
I'm with a good cat nap. You know what I'm saying? I ain't know I'm gonna go home and take me a 2-3 hour nap, but I'm a good 30-minute sleeper. You know what I'm saying? To break up, you know what I'm saying, in between two projects or something. That, you know, that came from when I was in another kind of lifestyle and it was no sleep at all. Mm-hmm. It's just all it was little cat naps, you know what I'm saying, here and there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know the effectiveness of them, but you know what I'm saying? I use those in between projects. If I finish one thing, I need to cleanse the palate.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little 20-minute, you know what I'm saying, jump back up, fill it.
Yeah.
I'm with that, but I ain't no 2 hour. Let me come home from work and take a nap. I ain't that.
You know what it is too with my nap game. I never commit to the nap. Like how you said, you do a 30. First of all, I admire the fact that if you do a 30, you go right there and you lock into your 30, and then you do it. Me, I'll even have a couple hours. Like when I'm flying in for a show, a couple hours before I have to go on stage. I'll lay across the bed, but what I do, instead of going to sleep, I crack the laptop open. I'm watching Breakfast Club interviews. I'm looking at World Star. I'm reading, listening to podcasts. I'm doing everything I shouldn't be doing. I need to lay my ass down. And then what happens is like 20 minutes before I'm supposed to start getting ready, that's when I'm like, you know what? I should have really went to sleep. And then I fucking pay for it. Bullshit. Anyway. Oh man,
sleep is important, man. Sleep is important. Sleep. I can't sleep on flights though, man. It's so difficult for me.
Yeah, I can't do that much either. I can't sleep on flights.
I'll be sleep on a flight. Anything moving, I'll be sleep in a car. I'll be sleep on a train.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care nothing about it. I think it's because my parents probably used to take me for a ride to put me to sleep. But
okay, so
I will knock out.
You sleep with the movement. Yeah, I can't do it. A great business needs a stunning website, and with Wix.com you could do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are gonna love it. So what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Look, I'm back. I was at the Democratic National Convention last week, D.
Oh, word out in Philly.
I was out there in Philly. Uh-huh. I did. I was performing at one of the after party events they had.
Right.
And it was me, Rosie Perez, and Rosie got into it, man. She had a bit of a heckler out there.
Really?
Yeah, she had a heckler because Rosie was basically saying that we need to just clean the palette and just go for Hillary.
Okay.
And this dude was a Bernie supporter, and he got up. Security had to come in.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. And then, Obama today said that Republicans need to denounce Donald Trump because he's unfit for president.
Right, I saw that. I mean, this is a little late, but I guess now that they're seeing
hilarious.
That, yeah. That's what they seeing at, you know, it's a real, real fucking danger. But let's talk about that though, because I kind of empathize with the Bernie unrest. You know what I mean? Like, especially after the whole shit with what's her name? Was it Wasserman?
The emails.
Man. Like, I kind of felt that way. Like, I felt like certain things were being manipulated. You know what I mean? Against what you saw. Like, you visibly saw the cat Bernie getting some momentum and some traction out there. But it was like nobody would report it. Nobody would say he's got a shot. Like, everybody would be like, he's somewhat close, but Hillary's the better look. He's splitting the party, blah, 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 blah. And I think it's so many people that don't really like Hillary like that. Like, there's so many people that are going to vote for Hillary just to vote against Trump, that when you did find somebody that you kind of identified with, or you were feeling what they were saying and things of that nature, and then find out it was politics as usual that eliminated this person, I could understand being pissed off. I could understand heckling Rosie Perez. Shout out to Rosie. I fuck with her, but I could be somebody.
Super cool. She's super chill.
If somebody say, yo, you got to cleanse your palate and do this, and you know that you just been hoodwinked, it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough without at least a little bit of emotional reaction. Like, yo, fuck that shit. Hold on. You know what I mean? So, you know, I hate for Rosie to get heckled due to what Wasserman did. But, you know, I understand people feeling a way about that shit. How y'all feel?
You know, I don't think they expected Bernie to be as good as he was.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was, it was kind of a shock to them. And they said, oh, wait a minute, this guy's an actual threat. I hear what Rosie was saying, though. You know, I think the whole thing has been structured so that Hillary is the only choice.
Right.
You know, I think what Trump is, it's basically just saying that it's a more imperative to denounce him.
A moral imperative? That's a little ridiculous.
That's what different parts of the media, different people are saying about it, because I don't know if you, last week, he actually encouraged Russia to hack the U.S.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hillary's emails.
Yeah, which they're saying is treason.
They're saying that's treason. You can't encourage a foreign nation to commit a cyber attack on your own soil.
True. But let's not act like the media isn't complicit in Trump being where he is. So it's like, it's kind of like, not. I don't want to make, this is, might be a bit of a stretch, but when Pac and Biggie got killed, right? And then people that might have been fanning the flames step back and be like, well, we should reexamine how we look at these type of things. You know, things were very irresponsible. It's like, you can't have it both ways. To say that it's morally, like, this is the same story I've been tracking for 6-7 months, and now it's morally out the question. It just seems like a cop-out. You know what I mean? We got to deal with what we got. This is the motherfuckers, like, they respond to him. Respond to his angry, racist ass.
It's politics as usual.
It's politics, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This ain't
the first time somebody been railroaded. That won't be the last.
Yeah.
That's how it go, ain't it?
Man, it's fucked up. Old Bernie. Shout out to Bernie, man. I use my primary vote on Bernie. You use your primary vote. You vote with your heart in the primary. Then when it comes to general, you're like, all right, let me be real about this shit. Let me swallow my pride.
Get in where I fit in.
Yeah, go with the right choice. But damn. So how did she handle the heckle?
It got heated, man. It got heated. Like I told you, security had to come in, you know?
Damn. What was he saying? He was just like, what was he, just yelling Bernie's name? Or
she said something about, you know, her point was, Rosie was trying to say, and it was late, man. It was about, the show started late.
Mm-hmm.
People have been at the convention all day, so I thought it was a weird moment to have her talk.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically said, you know, we need to focus on Hillary. We have no other option, you know? And I vaguely remember the dude getting up and saying, you know, but it's corrupt, you know, the way this was handled.
Yeah.
And Hillary's not a great candidate. Something along those lines. And then Rosie got back at him. He went back at her. Security came in, shut it down. And then she got off.
Mm.
Interesting.
I think she was supposed to do, I think she was supposed to do like 20. She did about 8, 10 minutes.
She was like, let me get the fuck out of here with this.
She did one of your numbers. You don't deserve this comedy. You
didn't deserve this.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's crazy.
She got the light early.
Oh, man. How was it out there, though? Did you get, did you feel the buzz? Was it out there? Was it? Did it feel extra political out there? Did you feel charged?
You know, Philly's a great town, man. I like Philadelphia. You know, like Philly just has that feel of history.
Yeah.
When you put all it together, man, it just feels. You know, the love for Hillary is real, man.
Oh yeah, she got people.
And Clinton, you know, came through, headlined. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. on a Wednesday night, fell through, did 45.
Mm-hmm. Strong,
you know. I think Clinton did 45.
He might have. I won't be surprised.
Did 45.
Was it good? I didn't see his. I saw some of his. It was a little much up front. He was talking about how he met Hillary. And it was a little long winded up front. You know what I mean? But keep going. I'm sorry.
The speculation is: do y'all feel that Michelle is going to run soon? Next season?
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think she didn't want Barack to run. I don't think she. She killed it though. She had a nice. She had a dope speech. Barack had a banger. Barack did Barack. He did his thing. I heard Cory Booker had a nice little speech to come out, you know what I mean, and get his name out there.
And by the time Clinton was coming out of office, they already had Hillary's political ambitions out front. You know what I'm saying? They was already setting her up to come to New York to run for Senate. You know what I'm saying? They made all that happen immediately. That was already going down that last year they was in office.
Yeah.
It looked like Michelle about to, you know, go do her workout thing and hang it, you know, and do her health and fitness shit.
Mm. Yeah. Keep them traps right on them, them triceps. Triceps is official. What you said? You said on a side note. Go ahead, Vlad.
I was watching HBO last night.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a close friend of mine on the goddamn Night Of.
Oh, he on the Night Of. Yeah,
looking like Baby Kanan. Looking like Baby Kanan out there.
Hilarious.
Headline looking sharp as hell.
Hilarious, man. That was good times.
Congratulations on that, man. That was dope.
Thank you.
Talk to the people.
That was fun, man. I shot that shit. I said it on the Instagrams, but I shot that back in 2014 on my birthday, October 28th, 2014. That's how long ago that was. And,
what was it though?
It was where we shoot it.
No, what was it?
It was, it was a show called The Night Of, but when I shot it, it was a show called Crime. And, I played a arrestee named Scissors. Or that's what they gave. That was my name because I did what I did with the scissors or whatever.
Hilarious.
And it was just a great day. It was my birthday, man. We filmed in the city. We filmed right behind the post office on 34th Street. They transformed that whole thing into a police precinct. Like the set design was bananas. It really felt like a real jail. I don't think I knew until the day of that John Turturro was going to be the guy, because I think it was just John Stone in the script. So I didn't know who was playing. I didn't see all that until I seen the call sheet that day. And I was like, oh, shit, fucking John Turturro. I've been a fan of John Turturro since fucking Do the Right Thing. And he was cool. To your point about Brian Regan, he didn't disappoint. He was super cool. He was straight. He had good words of advice and shit. You know what I mean? Was a real cool guy. We had fun doing the set. The guy that shot that episode, I don't know if he shoots every episode, but the guy that directed that episode is actually a Oscar award winning director. He directed Man on a Wire. That joint. Yeah, so he was cool as shit. Like it was a cool set. Like, you know, you were in great hands. You know what I mean? Like these people were great. You just hope you ain't dropped the ball. And I, you know, it was fun. It was, I want to do more, but I didn't know it had happened so long ago that I didn't know if it was even going to air. Because when I finally started seeing the trailers for the show, it was a different name. And then I went on my IMDb to see if I popped up anywhere, and I wasn't there. And I had been canceled. I had been previously cut out of a Good Nurse Jackie. So I was prepared for the cut. You know what I mean? That's why I don't ever say shit. I might tell my peoples. I'm sure I told you back then. But I don't really go on record to be like, look for me here. Because that shit might not happen.
You can't do that.
But what was cool about it, I was saying last night, what was cool about it was I was getting a lot of people, yo, fam, you're one of my new favorite shows. You're my favorite show. I like popping up in people's favorite show because you get all that goodwill that they love for the show. I didn't do nothing. I just did what I needed to do. But they, yo, man, I'm happy to see you in my favorite show. I'm like, all right, well, good looking up. But it was fun, man. I had a great time, man. Yeah, shit. That was it, man. It was a moment. Felt good, man. HBO. Hopefully that won't be my last on the home box office.
No doubt.
Yeah.
It was great, man. It was great. Yeah,
thank you, man. Appreciate it. What else is going on, B? What else we got going? Oh, Power. You been watching it?
Oh, yeah.
I have not.
Yeah.
Well, hold on, because I know you been. You know what? Actually, I've watched most of this latest episode. I don't think I've seen. I'm not sure if I seen the entire. Did I see it? Oh, actually, I saw the entire episode. Well, I guess we could talk about it because Vlad don't watch it really. Nah. We're not gonna spoil it for you, Vlad. You don't watch it, do you?
Nah,
because he's not gonna watch it. No,
he ain't gonna watch it. All right, so
he ain't gonna watch this shit.
I watch it.
They had my homegirl Anika Noni Rose. Is that her name? I think that's her name.
FAMU representative.
Oh, she a FAMU representative? I ain't know that.
Yeah,
I know
she's a rattler.
She's a young rattler. She's a beast, B. She got busy. She killed that.
Yeah, she went in.
She killed it. Good to see 50. 50 acting game is getting better. I don't know if cats paid attention. 50 getting better. So 50 was looking like 50 was doing his thing. Yeah. So, man. Go ahead.
Anika brought the intensity. She brought some intensity to it. She brought a different texture to it. Yeah. Then, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know what I'm saying? It's been some moments in this season where the acting was a little slow to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So except with a lot her of bringing acting. That intensity. Yeah, a lot of, you know, Tommy do a lot of face acting. Uh-huh. Omari, he stay legit. He always good.
Okay.
But she bring a whole another level in intensity. So yeah. I like that.
Yeah, she killed that shit. It's going to be good. I'm curious to see how this is all going to turn out. You know, how Kane is going to get back on the scene. This is going to be an interesting one. They doing their thing.
Ghost got a lot of shit popping off of this nigga here.
Yeah.
He got a lot of worries popping back up.
He fucking up a little bit. He looking like Tommy. He got a lot of, you know, loose ball fouls.
He did not finish none of the job.
Yeah. man. That's crazy. You said you saw, Vlad, you said you saw, Star Trek in 4D?
Dude, I saw Star Trek in 4D. A couple nights after it opened. And, you know, 4D is basically the seats shake along with the action.
Right.
And the chair also tilts.
Uh-huh.
Which, and then there's also air sprays.
Right. They spritz some shit in your face, right, or something like that?
And water as well.
How you like that? So, what's the deal?
It was about $27.
Wow, okay. That's a problem.
And that was a problem. But I got to say, though, man, it definitely enhanced the film by a lot.
Having your chair shaking?
I can't see it working for every film, but for Star Trek, it was really, really dope, man.
So how did it work? Like, if y'all were taking off, did it feel like y'all were taking it? Like, we got to get out of here. Does your chair push back? Okay.
Exactly. And then, like, if someone, you know, there's gunshots, there's gunshots fighting, you know, airplanes going over water, you feel the chair start shaking, you know?
Really?
And when the Enterprise was in flight and it would make, like, a left turn quick, the chair would turn left.
Okay.
So the movie was about 7, maybe.
Okay.
And with the 4D experience, it's so, like, 8, 8, 8.5, 9.
No, that's not too bad.
You just feel, the movie feels just that much more fun. But I don't know if it's good for every film. For this type of film, because of the spaceship and the, you know, it's contextually built for that kind of experience. It was dope, man.
That's what's up. Star Trek. This is like what?
I had a good time. I'm trying to go see The Bourne Identity this week.
Right. We were talking about that earlier today. It's just called Jason Bourne. Just like, that's interesting.
They ran out of titles, man.
Yeah, he just said, all right, fuck it. Let's just keep it personal. Jason Bourne. Wow. Yeah, we'll see.
They know what it is.
You know what the deal. You know what to expect. Anyway.
So that was, I enjoyed that, man. So I'm trying to go see Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
What else I want to say? That's pretty much it for the summer. I think that's the last movie of the summer that I want to check out.
This was a terrible summer for movies. Hilarious. This was. This wasn't like summer movies. Typically, summer movies have a few blockbusters or whatever. Like, this wasn't the best. This was a couple. I heard Ghostbusters wasn't that good.
I didn't see Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I heard one all that. I didn't plan to see it, though, so. I heard Central Intelligence was pretty good, though. I need to see that. I want to check that.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. I got to check it out.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but it ain't feel like no real big blockbuster movies. I didn't even know Star Trek was out. I mean, not that I watched those Star Trek movies like that anyway, but I didn't know it was all out like that.
Yeah, I saw people saying that it was dope.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Going to Connecticut this weekend.
Okay. Got spots out there?
The comics.
Okay.
The comics. And, you know, I don't gamble, dude. I just don't get it. I can't wrap my head around it, dude. You know, the blackjack and the slots. I mean, do a little slots, but I can't get into that whole gambling thing. Like, I don't know what your situation is, D, when you play a casino, but I stay away from that.
I'll play one or two. Like, I might put a couple dollars on black at the roulette table just to do it one time. Like, I might play it, but I know when to step away. Like, I've never been one of those people that have, like, when they, you know, like, I'm not going to lose my shirt. I'm not that guy. I work a little too hard for this paper. But I'll put, just for the moment, I'll throw a little bit on it. If I hit, I get caught up in that excitement. Hey, I might gamble what I hit. But if I lose, I step off. I like to leave even if I can. You know what I mean? I don't like to go down. I don't like to be left. You know what I mean? And I don't want them to get me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not the biggest gambling enthusiast. It's cool. It's cool energy. You know what I mean? You can feel the people get excited for you, especially when the stakes are real high. You know, but and then you need to get the free drinks, which is, you know, another benefit. But other than that, man, it is what it is. If the gambling in general, casinos, they're romanticized when you see them, like, in the movies and shit like that. But when you go in real life, you see a lot of old people with oxygen tanks with the shit is sad. Like, you see a lot of people that look like
suffering.
Yeah, they look like they really need to hit. They need this shit to happen for them. And it's not the best energy. It's not really casino. It's more OTB.
Yeah.
First time I ever went to Vegas, man, the first person I seen in the casino was at a phone booth calling somebody, crying, talking about he just lost whatever. He can't get back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They need to send him some money so he could get a plane ticket, get home. And he didn't look busted and disgusted. He looked like a normal going-to-work-ass motherfucker. It just went too hard.
Busted and disgusted.
That's hilarious. Busted and disgusted.
Oh, normal going to work ass motherfucker. That's funny as shit. Oh man. Oh, B&D over there. Anyway, man. Shit.
Oh, busted and disgusted. I did want to pick you guys' brains about this. You know, Damon and I, we did that Kevin Hart LOL
right.
Taping in Montreal.
Yeah.
Which is essentially for Kevin Hart's new streaming network.
Right.
So I've been having this conversation with a couple people, but basically there are a lot more buyers in the market today.
Okay.
In terms of content distributors.
Okay.
You have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, you have cable, you have network. And what I want to ask you guys is, are we in the midst of a distribution bubble in the sense that there's too many platforms and at some point it's going to collapse on itself? Because even Verizon now.
Nah. Verizon is positioning themselves to be a leader in whatever it shakes out to be. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of players in position. I know I talk about this a lot when we be talking about Tidal and Apple and shit.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of players vying for position. And, you know what I'm saying? It's going to shake out. It's going to dwindle itself down. Everybody not going to make it. But everybody trying to wave their flag. That's exactly why I'm in it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to wave my flag to be in a position to decide which way to go when it all shakes out. So I don't think it's a bubble per se, and I don't think there's too many, because it's still places where there's certain types of content that have no place to go. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these platforms, it's the same content across a lot of the platforms where everybody's leveraging their bets. But in the case of Kevin Hart, I think it's very smart for him to control his own power over social media and in the digital space,
right,
to where he can create his own opportunities and checks in the world that exists. And you know what I'm saying? If it does well, then he could probably leverage it, sell it off or whatever to a Verizon or to a whoever who was trying to play. But yeah, it's been something that came and went. You know what I'm saying? Marlon Wayans thing, I don't know. I'm not sure where that went, because he had WTF. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure how that worked out. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah,
you know, there's some going to stay, there's some going to go.
Yeah. I think it comes down to the content. I mean, I think Kevin Hart is probably, I mean, he's kind of close to what Jay is in comedy on a certain level. Like, he's become synonymous with success over these last few years. You know what I mean? Like, he's a mogul. He's out there. He's inspiring the game. He's bringing a lot of eyes to the game. I think that, you know, this LOL kind of being his title, I think it'll get a good amount of attention. Kevin Hart is good as hell at promoting everything that he's associated with. So at least initially, people will jump in based on curiosity. Now, what's going to be interesting, though, is to see how many people really want to pay for that. You know what I mean? Like, paying for content is still, you know, it's trending. It's trending a certain way. I know as far as streaming services go, you see, as far as music goes, you see it starting to take off a lot, because I've justified it as like you paying for a bunch of crates. You know what I mean? Like, you could just access anything. Right. You want to hear Led Zeppelin? I bet. You want to hear Jay? I bet. You don't have to fucking front load your iPod with all of these gigs. Now you could just leave it up to them and they could access it. If you're somebody that's really a comedy enthusiast, then maybe, you know, there's people like NBC CISO out there. I'm not sure how well they're doing. I know I've done some work with them as well. I look at it like, as somebody, just as a performer, I look at doing stuff with these little like streaming networks or these on-demand networks where people are paying a premium to get down. I look at it, if they see you on that, they're so much of a comedy enthusiast that they're more likely to actually buy a ticket to your live show. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to hedge that bet. But one other thing that you said that made me think of another question. What the fuck did you just say? You were talking about how the business is trending. It'll come back to me. But what do you think, Vlad? You think there's a bubble or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Verizon just, not Verizon, Netflix just raised their subscription prices, you know?
Yeah. But that was after, like 10 years. I mean, well, after at least 4 years or something, they just. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know they're putting cash into everything. So
right,
the business model for them to compete, they gotta raise this. I mean, of course, they're cash, you know, they're loaded, obviously.
Right.
But they have all these players coming in. You know, it's not as thick, but it reminds you of the .com era.
Right.
When everybody was jumping in,
mm-hmm.
and then at some point it just collapses on itself, and only a few players remain.
Yeah.
Because even for me,
but that's, you know, just, that's the nature of the game.
That's every, that's podcasts.
Yeah, mm. I know. But for me, it's like, you know, I'm a content creator, you know?
Yeah.
And it's insane the level of places you can take a meeting at, who wants to do business and where this content is going and,
right.
and who's doing what. And I look at it, I'm going, this is not going to last for long. You know?
Nah, because it's going to turn into three or four players, and then, you know, then they're going to close the door, and then there ain't going to be nowhere to go. You're going to be back where we started.
Yeah,
that's why. That's why this is a great time.
Yeah, I think it's
even.
Go ahead.
No, because even as a consumer, it's like it becomes too much. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had where someone goes, "Hey, have you seen so and so show?"
Oh,
I go,
yeah.
"Dude, I'm still on Showtime right now watching Ray Donovan."
It's mad shows like Stranger Things. I'm hearing is the shit. I haven't seen that yet. You know, like, so, go ahead.
Even for a content creator, it's good because it's business to be made.
Right.
But you wonder how much engagement there is because there's so many different freaking, you know, distribution channels now.
To that point, though, I wonder, like, as a content creator, though, but the cool thing is, like you say, you're taking meetings with these people, and a lot of people right now in this moment are cutting checks, right? So as a content creator, it's way more incentive beyond who's watching, but it's way more incentive to create content, right? It's like, yo, you get a check if you do this. And if you do that, even if people don't see it or whatever, if you get in the habit of creating content, it can only make you better off. You know what I mean? Like, once you've shown to be proven, even if so like even if you send it to somebody that does get swooped up by a bigger conglomerate, hopefully your name is on the radar as someone that could create content, and you set yourself up as a producer in the world, and people know they can rely on you for content, which it seems like that's the king right now. Yeah. I mean, people buying in volume or whatever. But the question I wanted to ask you was, as you said about the Kevin Hart thing, and I know a couple weeks ago we was talking about Jay-Z with Tidal and possibly going to Apple Music. Let me ask you a question. Kevin Hart, black entertainer, Jay-Z, black entertainer. You know, when I see people like that, and I'll take it all the way back to Bob Johnson. When I see people like that that own these companies, like when Bob Johnson owned BET and Jay-Z owning Tidal and Kevin Hart owning LOL, as a black person, there's something that is inspiring about that. And I understand business is about building equity and selling it off and cashing out, but sometimes it just feels like, whatever happened to people just sticking around and being like, yo, this is a historically black business that's been out here for a while. We've been in this game 40 years, 30 years. Like, there's something to be said about commitment in the community. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see more of that rather than catch just hustling it to make yet a bigger buck. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been proven that they're gonna just jump in and jump out.
Well, you know, I'm not. Yeah, I'm just
right now they're playing and it's exciting.
Yeah, I'm going by like the forecast. You know, when people were saying that Tidal might get scooped up by that, but even back in the day when we found out Bob Johnson finally wasn't part of BET, I looked at BET differently a little bit. I love BET, but it was just like it was a little bit more like. He was a little emboldened, like, okay, that's black owned. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just being emotionally petty, but it feels like certain things like that are symbolic, and I don't know if y'all feel that way.
Well, I think do you watch OWN?
Nah, not really. And I know that, and that says everything. I wasn't the biggest Oprah fan like that. Like, I was a hater, but I wasn't the guy watching Oprah every day at 4 o'clock. Like, she's interesting. I'm not going out my way to watch OWN. I'll catch some OWN shit here or there, and I'm happy that it's there. But you know, like OWN, like Oprah speaks to a specific target, and I don't think I'm that target.
Right.
You know.
Right.
What about you?
But what I did want to say, though, you know what I'm saying, it's not just on the ownership side. It's back to what Vlad was talking about with the bubble and taking all these meetings and all that stuff. I think more importantly, what this gives the content creators, like you saying that, the platforms, like, will it be enough people to, you know, watch all of these things? Or is it distracting? I think the opportunity is more so is what Kevin Hart is tapping into, is being able to take an audience that you've built, not mm-hmm. necessarily going to someplace, getting a check and trying to go mass all of a sudden, but being able to take an audience that you've built and bring them along and have platforms to bring them along at every stage. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important part on a more, if you look at it from a micro perspective, like Kevin Hart knows he can put 20,000 people in a stadium.
Right.
So, built based off of that, he's bringing them into this and building it from there. I don't think he thinks he's Hulu at mm-hmm. this point. It's just
it's another
an
venue.
Opportunity to build off of that.
Yeah.
Verizon also invested in LeBron James's content platform with Bleacher Report.
Okay.
And I think it's called Uninterrupted or something like that. They put $20 million into that.
Right.
But that's because they know these guys have a built-in base that they can tap into as a niche, right. not as HBO at this point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's the more of the point is that you can serve your audience a whole lot better
mm-hmm.
with, you know what I'm saying, tapping into them and being able to make content directly for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll see. You know, we'll see.
I'm just trying to figure out from our side, from the content creator side, what – you know, how to best leverage this. Do we just take all the deals or do we try to? I think for me, Damon and Ali, I'm taking this as a time to sharpen my content creation skills. I think
right.
the content creators are good. There's always going to be a market for you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, just.
So ain't no need to complain.
Yeah, show your worth. Get a check.
I'm complaining. You know, I just know at some point that the river can't run forever, you know?
Yeah, this is going to be that shit you're going to be talking about 15 years ago. Well, I remember back in 2016. Shit. You get anything. 3-minute sketches, I was getting $40,000.
$40,000?
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Then go get it. Shit.
Let's go get that shit. See what's cracking.
I'm getting that money now.
Put it in the bank. Where we at? Let's talk to the people. Where we at? Where you at this week, Vlad, before we transform and roll out?
I will be at Comics at Mohegan Sun Casino Thursday to Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's 5 shows.
Yeah.
4 shows. One Friday, 1 Thursday, 2 Saturdays. So 4 shows total.
Okay.
And then I will be back in Los Angeles after that doing shows up here on the West Coast.
All right. Muhammad, where you at?
Where?
What you got going on?
I'm down in... I'm in Florida right now, but I'll be most of the week. I'll be down in Atlanta until about the 16th. So I'll be out there moving around, shooting content, getting some content for my audience and shit together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on that.
That's what's up.
If you in the A, hit me up. Let me know what it is, man. I'll come through.
There it is. Get some being black vignettes out there. That's, you know, the shit. That's the closest thing to Africa.
That's the blackest place in the world.
Absolutely. Come on. This week I'm going to be at, I'll probably be at the Stand this weekend. I'm going to see Big Daddy Kane tonight, actually. I'm
hilarious.
Going to see Big Daddy Kane at the Ditton Factory. I'm going to check that out. But next Wednesday I'm going to be at the Bell House on the Two Dope Queens show. Phoebe and Jessica Williams, Phoebe Robinson, Jessica Williams. That should be fun. Comedy Knockout is back with new episodes. Now we're going twice a week now, so it's Monday and Wednesday. So that just started yesterday, or started Monday, so check that out. Geico versus Girl Code is still cracking, so check that out Tuesdays on MTV2. And also, I'll be at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte September 8th through the 10th. So go online, get your tickets down. More information will be coming. But, that's where you can find me. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.